This guy's been a part of the Freak Nation many, many years. We're into our 20th year. Not quite sure how long he's been coming in here. James Hinchcliffe joining us here in the Freak Nation. IndyCar Series pilot and now NBC IndyCar pre-race host, no, in-game host.
He is in race, baby. He's in the booth.
Holy smokes. Have you started to work on those chops yet? Bro, it's just right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, all right, a couple things. First of all, I'm actually going to be in pit lane.
Uh-oh.
Oh, but I thought it was
I'm going to do a little bit in the booth, but my main game is going to be in pit lane. And I got to be honest with you, until about an hour ago, and this is not a joke, until about an hour ago, I had received no real official information, training, handbook, no guidelines. I felt very unprepared. And then about an hour ago, I got a phone call saying, hey, we're going to do a seminar, get you up to speed next week before the thing. And I thought, okay, perfect. At least I'm getting some sort of guidance and an understanding of what exactly it is I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it.
I love the fact that we have a winning IndyCar driver on the phone with us right now. And he says, we're going to get with you and talk to you about the thing. Not the race or the race weekend, but the thing.
You know, the thing that we're doing.
The thing. I talk about the thing with the thing, and then I'm in the thing.
There's stuff happening at the thing, at the place. You know all about it. It's fine.
IndyCar Series pilot, NBC IndyCar pit reporter, James Hinchcliffe, joining us here in the Freak Nation. And earlier today, I was bending down, picking up the newspaper or something, and I kind of grunted. You just grunt. When you're old, you grunt, even though you're hurting or not. And I thought, you know what? I bet James Hinchcliffe, he grunts, given the fact of that tragic accident that you had, almost took your damn life, and just some things you've been through. Do you still grunt when you pick up things off the floor?
You know, I have my grunty moments for sure. There's, you know what it is for me, man?
What?
It's, and this is bad given my line of work, sitting on airplanes. Something about airplane seats is like the only thing that's like a lasting side effect from my accident. It just absolutely ruined my left leg and like left butt cheek. And I've already been on 20 planes this year. I counted. So it's a bad occupation to be in if sitting on planes hurts.
So much for not having a full-time ride. What the heck? 20 planes. What are you doing? You teased something on social the other day about possibly hooking up with Tony Kanaan to do something. You're now doing this TV gig. We know you're staying in shape to do the 3 IndyCar races that you are signed up for, including the Indy 500. What is taking you to more than 20 destinations already?
It's crazy. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say 20 destinations because, I live in Indianapolis and you got to connect to go everywhere. So it's probably only 10 honest trips, but it's 20 planes. But no, it's, honestly, being unemployed is more work than having a job. You know, you're out there hustling, you're meeting with companies, meeting with sponsors, obviously with Genesis coming on board with us for our 3 races this year. Very excited about that. We had to have some meetings with them in different places, had to go announce it down in Florida. We've just kind of been all over chasing different things, some charity work. I was out in California with Ryan Hunter Ray for his big charity event last weekend. We were out at Laguna doing some fun stuff there. So just, moving and shaking.
And moving and shaking as a newly married man, are you kind of used to your wife Becky's idiosyncrasies? I mean, is there, you posted something in this off season about that damn thermostat, and Kenny and I go at it with that thermostat. I get it. But what are some other things that you've come to realize that you're like, uh-oh?
It's unbelievable. Crash, I got to tell you, there's some of the things this girl does. It's just, it defies words. And so, the thermostat is like the number one bartering tool in our house. I mean, I'll do this chore for a degree, and she'll do this for a degree. We use it all the time. But then my darling wife, Becky, she, I guess, got yelled at a lot when she was a kid for slamming cupboard doors in the kitchen. And so she just, her solution to this was, rather than not slam them, was to just not close them at all. And she goes through our kitchen and every drawer or cupboard that she's been to in the last 10 minutes just stays open. And I'll walk into the kitchen and it looks like a poltergeist has hit the kitchen and has just left everything all disheveled. It's crazy.
Kenny, that is so you. And it's so frustrating because I hit my head. Yes, I hit my head on some of the cupboards and I'm like, what the hell? Just close it.
Hold on a second. At one time, it was all about me closing the doors. Do I leave them open now?
Oh, all the time.
Because I was that kid at 12, 13 years old that would jump up on the counter and someone left the G-damn door open. I cracked my freaking skull and yes. And it was paranoia from this point forward. So I've changed?
Oh. You and Becky need to have a little seminar.
Holy crap. I asked you this earlier, and you were frank. You were used to calling your wife before you were married. Explain.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I just got a big issue with the word fiance. It just sounds so gross and pretentious. And you know, they spell it one way for males and another way for females, but it's pronounced the same. It's just there's too many rules around it, you know, and it doesn't sound cool. You sound like a jerk. You sound like your upper crust trying to like brag. Oh, yes, I'm engaged. I'm a fiance. So, you know, as soon as we got engaged, I just started calling her the wife or, you know, the bag and chain, the boat anchor, the handbrake, whatever was appropriate.
Okay, because that's a French word. Does Simon Pagenaud realize that you are very upset with that word?
Well, we've talked about it, but I think that's also why he stayed engaged for so long, is because he loves saying the word. His poor Haley had to stay in that weird purgatory of engagement for so long. Because he just loved being able to say, the fiancé.
Let's talk a little bit of racing.
I guess.
Damn it.
Well, I mean, if we must.
Where would you be if you still had your full-time ride? Where would you be right now mentally and physically with the season right around the corner?
You know, I'm quite proud to say physically I'd be in exactly the same spot because I've been maintaining my training regimen as if I was going to be racing in St. Pete because, hey, look, man, if Connor Daly is any indication of anything, you never know if you're going to be in a car on a given weekend. So, you know, I'm fully prepared to step in if the need arises from one of the Honda powered teams. So I've been preparing physically exactly the same, and I'm in as good shape as I've ever been. I feel as prepared as I've ever been. So it's kind of frustrating that I don't get to go, you know, use it and put all that hard work to good use. But, you know, mentally, I'm not going to lie, man, it's tough. It's tough knowing that everybody was in Coda a couple weeks ago and that everybody was in Sebring the last few days and that, you know, a little over a week, we're all going to be down in Florida and, you know, 23, 4, 5, whatever it is this year, of you know, my best friends are going to go out there and do what I want to be doing. And I'll be in the pit lane with a microphone talking about it. So it could be worse. Don't get me wrong. I mean, getting to work on the broadcast, the opportunity with NBC is something I'm genuinely very excited about. And I do still get to be there and be part of the action. And hey, talking about racing for 2 hours, I'd do that for free. Don't tell them. But you know, it's still great to kind of be involved. And I'm already, you know, I know we've got three races this year for sure. You know, hopefully we can add another one or two as the year progresses. But at the same time, you know, we're ice forward to May and already making moves and putting plans in place for 2021. So I'm trying to look at the silver lining. You know, certainly it's not the 2020 I thought I was going to be having 6 months ago. But it, like I said, it could be a lot worse. And I'm getting cool opportunities, getting to go back to Andretti Autosport, which is amazing. Getting a great new partner involved in the series with Genesis. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird. But at the end of the day, no complaints.
James Hinchcliffe, how would it work out if something would happen with a Honda driver, and how would it work with NBC and with Genesis and with you if you were to get a call to replace somebody during the season?
You know, I'm so lucky to have just great people around me in every aspect of my life right now. And the people at NBC, they understand that I'm a racing driver, and that's still my number one goal. And so I, you know, I hope TV is part of my future down the road in a more permanent situation. You know, they get that if an opportunity comes up, I'm going to want to take it, and they're going to allow me to do that. So big credit to them and a huge thanks to them for being understanding in that sense. And from the partner side, yeah, I mean, you know, Genesis knows the situation. It's part of the reason that we got involved together. And I think that if a car opens up, you know, they're going to understand that that's not one there technically supporting at the time. And so, you know, no harm, no foul. I think their goal is very much to be full-time in 2021, and we want to do that together. So that's something we're working toward. But if opportunities come up this year, I think we're going to kind of take them as they come.
All right. Well, there it is right there. I like what you just said. Their goal, Genesis's goal, is to be full-time in 2021, and you guys are working on that together. So fingers crossed. James, just enjoy this year with what all the different opportunities and different things you're going to get to do, hopefully full-time 2021.
Exactly right. I mean, I'm kind of jokingly calling it my gap year. You know, this is the racing equivalent of backpacking across Europe for a summer after college before you get a real job and go back to work, you know.
One of the greatest personalities in all of IndyCar, James Hinchcliffe, now has a new gig, pit reporter for NBC's IndyCar series.
Some people know him as going through a dog wash in a cage.
Ah, true.
Man, we have been friends a long time.
That was when I knew. I'm like, that guy's a freak just like us. We need to get him on the show.
James, IndyCar has largely been absent from Phoenix in the last few years. They had a couple of runs there. But with the reconfiguration of the racetrack, what would it take to get IndyCar coming back to Phoenix?
Yeah, so the problem that we ran into, I think, personally in Phoenix, is a common one, especially on the shorter tracks, is it was so fast. It was such a one-lane track for us, you know, and we run into the same problem a little bit at Gateway, and it's hard to create a second lane on those shorter tracks. And so the only real way to get the racing to be entertaining, both from the driver's seat and from the grandstands, is to have a crazy amount of tire degradation and really have a big difference between new tires and old tires, and you know, force the drivers to kind of take care of their tires and all the rest of it. And it just puts Firestone in a very difficult spot. You know, obviously they're an incredible partner. They bring us very safe, very reliable tires. And that's obviously the number one goal, trying to create a tire that does fall off in sort of a dramatic fashion, but doesn't compromise safety on an oval. It's nearly an impossible ask. You know, a lot of it comes down to the physical surface on the track, you know, the geometry and the, you know, potentials for second lanes, things like that. So I'm not saying it's impossible, certainly, but it would take a fair amount of effort and commitment and ultimately, I think, budget from Firestone to put together a test program that could really try and come up with a safe tire that is, you know, fast out of the box, but degrades quite a bit.
But James, the follow-up question to that is, can't the wings be adjusted so the driver has more control and put the car in the hands of the driver instead of the technology?
The problem that we've got, you know, when you think of watching a cup car, you know, getting wheeled around an oval and they're sliding around, and the problem is that the floor of an Indy car is so reliant on the car moving in a straight line, moving forward, that we don't have side force. You know, that's like a fairy tale term for us. We wish we had side force in an Indy car. When, you know, you hear that term in stock cars a lot. So as our cars get harder to drive and a little freer and a little more sideways, the more yaw, the more kind of slip you get in the angle of the car, the less effective the floor becomes and the more downforce you lose. So the more sideways we get, the more likely you are to spin.
Yeah.
And then almost instantly. So just the kind of underlying philosophy and design of a single seater makes that a lot harder than it does, you know, in a cup car. So to say, you know, let's try to make it a little harder to drive, put it back in the driver's hands, that means something different, I think, for us than it does for them.
Wow. See, that's the kind of insight you're going to get from James Hinchcliffe in the pits. That's awesome. And making it easy to compare when, yes, the 800-pound gorilla in the motorsports world is still NASCAR. So, yeah, you make those comparisons and people are like, oh, duh. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm excited about. You know, one of my favorite things to do very genuinely is educate people about IndyCar racing, you know, because it's the number of times you talk to somebody that has the most rudimentary understanding of our sport, and you give them even just a tidbit more information, their face light up. They're like, oh, this is super fascinating. This is an interesting sport. There's more to it than I thought. And you get more passionate fans out of that. And you know, I've been a big proponent from, you know, my first day behind the wheel of a car of trying to educate people and grow fan base of this sport. And so if I get a chance to do that a little bit more this year with NBC, then yeah, all the good for it. I'm gonna look forward to it.
Yeah, James, I don't think you need coaching on this, but I will say that just tell me something that if I'm seeing something, tell me why I'm seeing it and why I don't know it. Just tell me something I don't know when you're in the pits.
That's what the crazy thing about it, the good and bad thing about our sport is that's a lot of stuff. You know, there's so many intricacies to IndyCar racing from every different element, from what the driver's experiencing to what the car is doing to the setups and the strategy and all the rest of it. There are so many things going on that every viewer at home, whether you're a seasoned veteran fan or a complete neophyte, there are going to be things you don't know and you can't see from the broadcast that hopefully being sort of the boots on the ground in pit lane, I'll be able to open some of those doors and show some people, you know, what's happening.
Well, fortunately, with Roger Penske now at the helm and this new marketing campaign that's come out, A Different Breed, that has started, those explanations have started in a way that neophytes can get it. A Different Breed. Talk about wrestling a bear, no power steering. I mean, it's baby steps. Now you as a pit reporter and Paul Tracy in the booth and Lee Diffie in the booth, then you guys take that and then add to it on the first broadcast and add to it again on the next broadcast. It's awesome.
No, for sure. You know, and I give IndyCar a lot of credit for what they've done with this new campaign. It's funny, you know, I've answered a lot of questions from people that ask like, how can you do what you do? You're crazy, you know, whatever. And my joke has always been, you know, and it was really highlighted after my accident, getting back into the car and all the rest of it. But my line has kind of always been, you know, we're wired differently. Racing drivers are wired differently than your average person. We lack that self-preservation gene that a normal person should have and normally does have. And so the whole different breed concept and campaign, it's very accurate. Like we are a different group. Not saying we're better. Trust me, in a lot of ways we're worse. But there is something about the way we're wired that is just a little bit off.
In the past, IndyCar seems to have been a little hesitant to address the dangers in the sport, but this campaign seems to be embracing it a little. Drivers do overcome danger in their everyday racing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we were actually consulted a little bit as IndyCar was starting to go down this path, and there's always mixed emotions in a room full of drivers when you are sort of highlighting the danger element of it and, you know, showing videos of crashes and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's an inherent part of our sport, and we all sit there and act tough when we're asked the question, like, yeah, you know, we know the dangers and we accept them, blah, blah, blah. But then when it comes down to the series, you know, using that as a way to attract fans, attract some interest, people get their guard up a little bit. And I don't think you can have it both ways. You know, I think we have a dangerous sport. I think we all know it's a dangerous sport. We all accept it's a dangerous sport. So let's show the world that, yeah, it's dangerous. And these are the risks that we're taking.
Yeah, the NFL, say what you will, they don't highlight in their highlight packages, you know, players slapping each other on the butt and hugging. They highlight the hits. They highlight dudes getting crushed. And I'm not saying highlight accidents by IndyCar drivers, but it's part of it, damn it.
It's acknowledging. It's acknowledging the danger without trying to call it highlighting. And certainly, as I'm sure in the NFL, if there's ever an event where there's actually any type of injury, that's not what we're highlighting. We're not supporting, condoning, or, you know, trying to draw attention to that. Just like the NFL is not drawing attention to hits that ended up with a concussion, you know? So I think there's a way to do it properly and tastefully and respectfully. But, you know, like you say, that's what the people, rightly or wrongly, you know, that's what some people tune in for. And you got to give the people what they want, man.
And I'll end it with this. Frankly, it is tough for me to watch. And it's a good thing. Tough for me to watch the IndyCar race at Texas Motor Speedway. We're on the edge. I can only imagine the drivers, you guys in the cockpit of those cars at that speed on that tight of a track. That's a race that is just, it's difficult for me to watch.
Yeah, that's one that's pretty special. You know, I think we as drivers, I remember my rookie season, and this is kind of what drove it home for me. My rookie season, you know, with Newman Haas, my teammate was Oriel Servia. And it was race day, it was Saturday night, and we were kind of walking up to the, you know, the driver intro stage there. And, you know, Oriel pulls me aside, and he's like, at every race, you know, I go up to everybody before the race, you know, in the driver intro stage, and I say, good luck. And he goes, at Texas, I say, be safe. Because it is, it's a totally different beast from really any other track that we race at. And it's hard in your throat. I mean, you go back to that race I had with Graham and TK in 2016, those last 10 laps there. I mean, I rewatched that thing and I think I'm nuts, you know, watching that clip. But there's something so exciting about it. And if you're with a bunch of racers that you can respect that are professional, there's no reason we all can't leave there just, you know, just fine and in one piece. But having put on just a hell of a show. So I'm super excited that that's one of my three races this year. And I can't wait to get back.
There you have it, Freak Nation. James Hinchcliffe, without a doubt, one of the best personalities in or outside of a car to join us in the Freak Nation. Is that a surprise to you, dude? Speed Freaks has been around for 20 freaking years.
You know what? Like when you first said it, I kind of like caught me like, oh, really? That long? And then I realized that, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. So it just made me feel old. It didn't make me think you guys were old. It made me feel old.
We're all old, damn it.
Did it go back, Crasher, did it go back to the time where James was working his way up through the ladder series?
Yeah, yes.
Ladder series. And you're saying something like, got to keep an eye on this guy. He has a great, it's like when social media just started, there's mayor of Hinchtown and holy smokes, James.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird to think how far we've come or not. I don't know. I don't really know if I'm better off than I was back then or not.
A great follow on Twitter. More important, just a great dude. James Hinchcliffe here in the Freak Nation. James, thanks for doing this, bud.
Of course. Always a pleasure, guys. Always entertaining. Thanks for having me on.